This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the You Up with Nikki Glaser podcast. It's the podcast version of the SiriusXM show that happens 4 hours every, 8 hours every week. Man, I really undersold myself there. Every morning, 10 to 12 Eastern on SiriusXM, Comedy Central Radio, Channel 95. You can hear the show, but these are the best of from the week. I'm here with Andrew Collin. We are in Phoenix, Arizona. If you're listening to this on a Friday, you can come see us tonight at Stand Up Live, which I'm looking at the building right now because we're at a Starbucks close by, as we always are. We're in Phoenix. We're going to be here tomorrow, too. There are two shows Saturday, one show Friday. People are screaming around us. Just deal with the ambient noise, because that's part of the charm of this podcast, right, Andrew?
Yeah, it's so relaxing. Just, I love Phoenix, where homeless people are yelling at us while we're just trying to do our art.
Calling this art is so hilarious. I'm just trying to do my art right now, Mom. Yeah, Andrew, are you okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'll be okay. But I think, we might get stabbed very soon here. But hopefully we get through all four.
Really? Because there's a woman with a baby stroller that, actually, I think she's homeless and it's packed with things, not babies. Hopefully not babies. It doesn't look like maybe there's a baby in there. Do you think there's a baby in there?
That's a meth stroller. That's just full of meth. Uh-huh. They have no teeth. But the baby looks healthy.
We haven't seen any evidence of a baby yet, but we're about to find out. No, we're not. She has it closed off. She's being pretty willy-nilly with that. It's like,
I think that's how she gets more money. She goes, oh, here I am. I'm a struggling mother of one. We're just trying to make it. I just lost my job at Macaroni Grill, and I'm just trying to, do the best I can. So anything you could help out me and my baby.
Yeah, I feel like that is a thing that some people use, but sometimes it is the case. Like, they do have a baby, and it just so happens that they're not using it. It's just like they actually do maybe need extra help.
Yeah, but in that case, then I definitely don't give any money.
Yeah, that's not true. Do you give money to homeless people?
Sometimes if I have a penny. No, I do. I do. I try. I definitely, it depends on their story. I can kind of see through bullshit, I feel like.
I don't think most of us can. I think you can, and you don't know. But people always go, oh, those people make so much money. And I go, good. I'm not willing to sit out on the sidewalk and beg. So that's a job.
Yeah, it's not
good.
It's not an easy job. I mean, especially in the subway. I mean, it's not. You've tried to, there were some people tried to do filming of a stand-up in the subway, and it's the worst thing on earth. So imagine doing that and just getting denied constantly. You just can't be well-shaven. You can't have a goatee and try to raise money.
Oh, that's a good point. I've never looked at their, beard situation. You have, I would believe you're homeless. You could walk out with this look right now, and I'd be like, oh, that guy hasn't taken care of himself in a couple days.
Yeah, that's how you hired me. That's essentially exactly how we started.
How much time do you spend on your beard? I don't even understand. That's a thing to women that we don't deal with at all is facial hair. I mean, some of us do. I shave every now and again because I get, a loose hair. But, what do you do for this upkeep?
None, really. I mean, if it grows long enough, I'll shave my neck so then the beard looks more clean. But usually I let it grow until I look homeless, and then I trim it. I'll do like a two razor.
Okay.
That you would use on your vagina, I would use on my face.
No, we use a straight razor on our vagina. We don't use, different settings.
Oh.
What?
You don't use clippers?
What?
What? Clippers? You don't clip?
You think that we use clippers?
You use my clippers on your vagina.
Yeah, because it was like a one-time thing where I was like, I've never even used these before. I think I told you in that moment. And because I had really grown it out. So it's before you use a straight razor, you have to clip it first. And I had never had it that long. So I was like, yeah, but generally women do not use clippers on their vagina.
All right, well, know.
Maybe we learned something today.
Yeah, I mean, look, the more you know, the less you feel.
Someone said that. Someone great once said that. And then someone not so great repeated it just now.
I'm not good at quotes. I can't remember any quotes.
Okay.
I find those people that remember, like there's certain comics, whatever. I'm not going to say names, but they remember quotes, like, word for word. And it's like, who are you doing this for?
Like, inspirational quotes or, like, joke quotes?
No, like, inspirational kind of quotes. Stuff.
Like, if you shoot for the moon, you'll land among the stars?
Stuff like that. Or, like, they remember things from books. I don't know. I just feel like it's a real waste of time. It's like people that know a lot of, like, knowledge about wine. I just don't trust them.
Yeah, I don't trust that either. It just seems like, what are you running from that you need to know so much about this thing that just essentially is getting you drunk? Like, that's what you like about it. If wine didn't get people drunk, no one would care about it. Think about that for a second. Anyone who's listening that's like, I love wine. If it didn't get you drunk, would you like it? The answer is no. You wouldn't. It's the only reason. I had a kombucha yesterday, and I was realizing it. I was like, this tastes disgusting. That kombucha is not good. It doesn't taste good. The only reason I like it is because it has a trace amount of alcohol in it, and it makes me feel loopy, and I like that feeling. But if you think you like the taste of alcohol, let me just tell you, you're lying to yourself. You truly are. And whatever you do like, it's what you've added to the alcohol to then. That's why strawberry daiquiris, that's why you used to put so much sugar in alcohol. It's because it's gross. I'm not going to get off on this diatribe, but I guess I just did. But no, I don't. What's a quote you remember? Is there any quote that you might live by?
My grandpa used to say, you want Mr. Five?
What is that? Do you want me to slap you?
Yeah. And I remember that anytime I feel like I'm doing something bad. I just remember his big hand going, you want Mr. Five?
That is scary. Also, you're a guy that's been listening to motivational speeches, so you tend to like some of this, like these platitudes and these like kind of trite sayings. There must be something about it that gets to you. You're loving motivational speeches right now, right?
Well, the guy that I like just literally just drops the F-bomb. He's just like, don't be a fucking pussy, you little fucking bitch.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. It's something simple like that. I like very simple things. I don't like quotes where it's like, I know less about the quote. Like, it's like the moon rise. Or no, that was the one you just said. But like, you know, you can't. You know, the early bird gets the worm.
Yeah, stuff like that. The one that I find very helpful that I do
mean that one. It's like more specific, like from books that no one else knows, and they're like, well, what's the guy's name? Like
any author you're trying to think of?
Yeah.
Just struggling to think of any author.
Yeah, like...
Just name an author.
Like John Steinbeck said.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I don't know what he said.
But. I don't know what he said either, but the one quote that I sometimes reference that I remember, and I remember it like cutting through, it was, it's none of your business what other people think about you. I like
good.
That one.
Yeah, no, it's
because the second like you go, what is he? Oh, he doesn't like me. And people go, it's none of your business. Then it makes it you feel bad that you're like prying. Mm-hmm. So then you don't, then you like kind of relinquish that kind of control. Anyway, let's get to Monday's show. Matt Fulcheron and Claire Parker were in studio, two friends of the show. Hilarious Matt Fulcheron, hilarious Claire Parker. Claire is dating someone, and she recently said, I love you. Wow. And it was pretty major. And we talked about the phrase, I love you, and the impact it has. This is Monday's show. Check it out.
So then the next week we got drinks, and we like kind of been, not inseparable, but I've slept over, like the week after that I slept over 7 nights in a row.
Wow.
Who's counting?
Me. I am counting. I have a log. I have a bullet journal. When we went to bed, when we woke, and this is crazy because I was sleeping over every night, and then we wake up and go to work, and like I have eyes on this guy truly 22 hours out of the day. Like,
wow.
I know where he is all the fucking time.
Yeah, I met up with you a couple weeks ago, like a week and a half ago or something, and you, he just sounds great.
He's honestly the best. He like really is just like the greatest. And,
yeah.
Like, so
I know literally nothing about you if you're listening, because we know you are, but you sound great, and my friend Claire really likes you, and
almost one would say love. Who would say that? I did.
Let's talk about you dropping the L-bomb.
Well, here's the thing, is like, I feel like I'm a decisive person. Like, when I go shopping, I'm like, no, yes, and then I'm done. I'm not somebody that hems and haws.
Me
I don't
too.
I like make a choice, I stick with it. I know what I want, and I get it. And like, I feel like with this guy, like I saw him in the office, I was like, that's the one
it.
I want. And
I want it.
I got it. Like, yeah. And I did. And I feel like I
you
knew.
You tried it on.
And like, we hung out one time, and I was like, oh, I'm like, this is what I want. This is exactly what I thought it would be. perfect. And so, like, day three, I was like, oh my God, I love him. Like, I do. Like, I just, like, I was like, this is exactly, because like, I spent, like, 2 months building him up in my head, and then somehow he was exactly who I'd built up in my head. So I had been, like, dreaming about it, and then it was there. And also, I'm a very, I just talk so much. I say so many words. It's going to come out eventually.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You're honest.
It's like a monkey with a typewriter, and I feel like it really is, like, word vomit. Like, I just feel so compelled to say everything I'm thinking that I've been, like, holding it in for 5 weeks anyway. And then I had, like, 2 drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I went.
It always comes out drunk.
Well, also, like, I was drunk because I was like, I just want to get it over with because I'm like, I can't hold. Like, I just, like, look at him in the morning. I'm like, I love you so much.
Yes.
And I just said, okay, I was, like, sitting in front of him. We were, like, watching a movie. And I said it in the most pouty. I was just like, I love you so much.
And like, you're not even happy about it.
And, like, I, like, turned into the couch. Like, and oh, my God, he's so cute. He just kind of, like, squeezed me a bunch.
Oh,
she just kept, like,
yeah,
rubbing
that's...
and squeezing and being like, and then we were just, like, in silence for 10 minutes. He was like, you want to go to sleep? we
is...
literally had to sleep it off.
So you didn't
did he give
get
you a physical
back.
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
And I was like, I can work with this. Give me 3 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks
you're
of a snake. I'll get that love.
There's no problems here.
No, and then, I mean, it was like,
he's
fine.
On a 3 week delay.
Yeah, he'll
that's
be there.
All.
And then it was like, we were going to bed. He's like, I think you're the best. And I was like, I'll take it.
No, the best is pretty good.
And like, he texted
pretty...
me like last night.
You're
like,
going to end up loving the best.
Like last night, he's like, I think you're great and you make me really happy. Just like, because I was like, all right, night. And like, so I feel like he doesn't want to say it. Because the
great.
Thing is, I know I'm a psychopath. So that's why I'm not like upset about it. Because I'm like, no, it is insane that like 20 days in, I'm like, tell me you love me. Let's
yeah,
move
you know
in.
That's
like,
too soon. And
I know
and
I'm crazy,
whatever.
But he's like cool with how crazy I am.
Yeah,
and so he's like
he's...
taking it in stride.
Oh, man.
This is going to be fine.
It
really
is. Dying for my ex-boyfriend to say I love you. And it took him a year and a half. And it was
a year and a half. I would break up. I couldn't take it.
I did.
Did he say he loved other things and you get all excited? Like, oh. I love olive oil.
Yep.
And you're like, you motherfucker.
Yep.
Wrong word.
Oh, every time he said love, I would note it. Like when he could say it to his family or to like, I love her. Like a girl he worked with, like, she's great. I love it. Like every time I clocked it. And because it was, I was becoming obsessed. Because I wanted
to
say
it
so bad.
First?
No, because I was like, with this guy, I like changed all my things. I was like, I'm not doing anything first anymore. Like, I am not going to make the first move. Like, I need everything. Because this is, just hasn't worked for me in the past. Mm-hmm.
You need the so base coach to wave you in on this one.
Always. But this guy, it eventually got to the place where I was like, he's not going to say it. And this is very upsetting to me. So I just called him and I was like, I feel like I am at a place where I love you and I could say that and you are not anywhere near that. And he was like, yeah, I don't say I love you. Like, I just don't think that that's like a thing that anyone needs to say. I think it's a made up thing. And I go, well, you say it to your mom. You say it to your sister. You say it like
on March 3rd.
I know.
We were at the McDonald's drive thru and you said, I love this Shamrock Shake.
What is love? What is like what? He was just trying to kind of evade the concept of love and like, yeah, I could say it to you, but I don't know what that, like, who, why do you need it? Like, I wouldn't be with you if I didn't want, like, all these things that I was kind of like, and he had just gotten before me, long before me, but he had been in a relationship with a girl that I really admired. Like, she was older than me and she just has it all together. She's like a really badass bitch. And I'm like, and I go, have you never said I love you in a relationship? And he's like high school and like never.
Only when I didn't mean it.
Right.
Well, that's my thing in movies when they're like, I just can't say I love you. I'm like, then lie. To me, it's
that's
so much
what I said.
Just hearing the words.
To me.
I like to just hear them.
I know. That's what
I
want
to say them. I like to hear them. I don't think they mean anything.
You're so right, Claire. I was that close to just being, just lie to me. Like, so that's what I'm asking you to do here, bud.
That was Monday's show. We're back here at Starbucks in Phoenix. Again, we're going to be in Phoenix all weekend long. Tonight, one show. Tomorrow, 2 shows. I can't believe we only have 1 show tonight. Andrew Collin and I are at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona. 1 show Friday. I don't know what I'm going to do with my night.
I don't know. It's like we have so much. I mean, we'll definitely not do anything, but there's a few things to do around here. There's bowling. There's a Copper Blues Club.
There's bowling?
Yeah. Do you ever bowl? When's the last time you bowled?
It was like when I had an MTV show, we did like a bowling thing with our staff and I had a huge crush on one of the guys we were working with. And the whole time I was just trying to look cute for, I just remember that being the main focus is just like, look cute when you bowl.
I feel like a lot of times when you go on first dates and the girl's like, I don't, my arms are too, you know what I mean? They like play like off this little like cutesy thing and like, can you help me? I'm a damsel in distress. Damsel?
Yeah, It wasn't even that. It was like, it wasn't a first date where I was like pretending to be a weak woman. I mean, I'm not like good at bowling. There's no way I'd ever be good at that. But, like it, yeah, I was just constantly aware of his presence. You know, when you like someone and you're just like, and then I was getting upset because I felt like he didn't like me. And he might be flying into town tonight to bang me. So that's exciting. That guy that I was trying to impress at that bowling game who had no idea, we might be bowling tonight with him. Oh my God. Yeah, because we only have one show. I was like, I might fly in some D.
Yeah, not strange. You never get strange. It's always got to be something.
No, it's common. What's the opposite of strange? It's expected.
Familiar.
I'm getting some familiar tonight. Yeah.
Something I know exactly what I'm getting.
Andrew might get some strange. I'm going to get some familiar. Tried and true. Tested. Accountable. Other words.
Word.
Brody Stevens, positive push. Yeah, so we're in Phoenix chilling at a Starbucks in between podcast episodes from the show. We're gearing up for Tuesday's show, which just remembering it was a fun show. That was just a couple days ago.
Yeah, I mean, one of our favorite actresses ever was in it from one of our favorite movies, Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
We never knew that we loved this movie, that we both had an appreciation for this movie.
Yeah. Piper Perabo from Coyote Ugly, she's promoting a show on Netflix called Turn Up Charlie. She stopped by the studio. Ian Fidance was also there. And Nate Craig, who is hilarious, and you can go see him on tour. Yeah, he's in the show Maniac, too. But, God, what a great show this was. Life is so good. Yeah. Like, this is pretty – I can't believe this is my week already. Piper Perabo came into studio, and Andrew and I both didn't know that we both loved the movie Coyote Ugly. I referenced it early on in the conversation, and then I got back to it, and then you'll see what happens. Just enjoy this conversation with Piper Perabo from Tuesday's show on You Up with Nikki Glaser. Ian Fidance, Nate Craig, Andrew Collin, me, Piper, go.
Before you have to run, I want to talk to you about Coyote Ugly. I'm sorry to bring up this.
I love that movie.
I
really do.
I'm
when they're on the roof, like at the end, yeah.
Don't you hijack this.
Oh, sorry.
For me.
I'm sorry. I got excited.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I didn't know
movies.
That. Okay, my bad.
It is.
I love that you've seen Coyote Ugly, but you haven't seen The Wire.
This is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I was going
to
say to you, it is The Wire for me. It was so important to me as like a girl who was like, I'm going to move to New York someday and like do it. And you were even like kind of DJing in that movie. Like I remember you like on your piano and like
a little like
I
was, loop like, machine.
Yes. The loop machine. You were already doing that kind of thing. You were so good in that. You were. Was that your real singing voice? They just did another.
Wait, it's so shocking. Literal. I
was convinced it was. I mean,
because when we did the movie, I recorded the entire album.
No,
yes,
you
I did.
It, and then they literally,
I had like piano lessons and guitar lessons and dance lessons, and I'd be at the studio at night recording the album. And then after the movie was finished, they were like, "They don't love your voice." And I was like,
"Give me
a break. It's kind of fucking late, guys." And they said, "We're gonna have Leanne Rimes." Loop all yeah. So she
that's right like, Leanne
but Rimes. I kept thinking about West Side Story because you know that's not really
Natalie Wood
right
no.
So I was like
and guess what
Natalie
doesn't
Wood
take
that's Idris Elba actually
it didn't take from that movie at all that it wasn't her voice
that movie's a great
and I,
movie.
You know going in that it wasn't and it doesn't take from yours either I mean
thanks.
You were fantastic in that movie and I saw it so many times I remember where I saw it you were and speak about handsome I mean where's that guy that was that
the
lead?
Australian
he's the judge on like Dancing with the Stars like UK or whatever
really?
Like you can go be on that show
and get on that show
I think he's married with a baby though.
I think I knew that from Instagram because I think a couple of years ago I was like what is that guy up to maybe he'll see my blue check mark and I was like has a family living a great life
he's like literally really the nicest guy in the world.
Okay, tell me about when you got that role because that was your first big breakout role. It's a lead role in a movie with like a bunch of stars. Did you know it was going to be what it was going to be?
No. I didn't know anything.
I mean, what did you know? What
like
did you
nothing.
Think?
I knew how to act. That's all I knew how to do.
When you got the call that, okay, did it feel like when you got the call that you were going to be the lead on Coyote Ugly, was it similar to the scene in Coyote Ugly when you find out your song is like going to be played? Like, I remember lots of jumping up and down in elation with John Goodman. Did you call John Goodman when you found out?
Did he work in a toll booth?
Yeah, 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 in a toll booth. Yeah. New Jersey.
New Jersey.
Oh, I got the call. It was like the assistant of my manager was at the Knicks game.
Okay.
And so I answered my cell phone. I'm like, hey, Jonathan. And he was like screaming, but then something was going on in the game, and so I couldn't hear him over the crowd. And he was like screaming and screaming. I'm like, are you okay, bro? I thought you, are you at the game? And he, and then like I could hear through the crowd, he's like, you got it. You got that fucking movie. And I was like, oh my God. Like, I was
you...
in shock. I'm still in shock.
I mean, the, to get the lead, because like when you're a relatively unknown actress, to get a lead in a movie is not something that happens a lot. You almost like audition for it going, I hope they throw me somewhere else in this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and, I'm sure you had extensive callbacks, so you were, you knew you were down to like
I had
two
done a screen test, but then I also had seen people coming and going from the screen test, so
yeah.
I knew who
so
was going in.
So you knew who was being
and, like,
considered.
Yeah, and like I knew Jerry Bruckheimer wanted someone like a new person. Mm. But I was also like, I saw Flashdance. I don't look like Jennifer Beals. You know what I mean? I'm like,
And when they say they're looking for a new person, they, sometimes that's just like what your agents tell you just to give you
they
hope.
They say that. And then,
and
they,
then they go
like,
with the famous.
Right.
They always go with the famous. And that's why it's like so cool that you got that role, because you were like, all of a sudden it was like, who is this girl? And then everyone is on board. I remember being on board instantly, being like, this is my new muse. Like, I loved you so much. I loved your style in it. I loved the way you acted. You just were so freaking good. And
thank
it's
you.
So cool to meet you because, that movie meant so much to
I'm
me
so
and
glad.
Andrew,
yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, I do. I remember it very well. The coat, when you're wearing his coat. Right.
I don't know if I remember. Whose coat am I wearing?
Never mind. I don't want
to. Remember the guy
that wore the hat?
Yeah.
Am I wearing Adam's coat?
Everybody had shoes.
I think you're wearing the guy's coat.
And you
have nothing else on, and then you're playing guitar.
That was so hot.
Probably. Yeah, sorry.
Probably.
Okay. Thank
you.
No,
he walks in.
Wearing the coat.
I'm
like, I wear a lot of coats in that
movie. Sexy.
Shut up, the winter in New York.
You're only wearing a coat.
That's the only one. Yeah.
Now it's more clear to me.
She's only wearing a coat.
Where's the coat? Where's the coat?
It's at Planet Hollywood, Houston.
Survey says,
I would love to go see that coat. Oh, my God. If that would have been at Planet Hollywood when I was a kid, I would have freaked the hell out.
I should have kept the wardrobe. I never thought about it. But you're so sick of the clothes when you finish a movie because you've worn them so much and they're like gross,
and they did a good job in that movie of like you were really roughing it. Like I felt like that was it wasn't like watching Friends where it's like these people could never afford this apartment. Like you were in a crappy apartment
a real crappy apartment.
How long did it take you guys to shoot that? Did you have so much fun shooting it? Was it your first movie? Like what was that like?
We had so much fun shooting it, and we shot all the exteriors here in New York. And I live in New York, so I was so happy to be home.
I would
walk to work. It was so fun.
And
we shot a lot of the exteriors in meatpacking, and it was before meatpacking had really become like cool. There was still like butchers and everything.
Yeah.
So I remember one night we were shooting, and I was like, "It's cold, but it doesn't seem that cold. The puddles are frozen, but the puddles were all fat, congealed fat that had been like washed out of the butchers."
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
Yeah. Dancing on
that's meatpacking.
Oh my God.
Wardrobe loved you.
Yeah. I know they were like, "Careful with those ponies."
Oh my! And when you walk by a Coyote Ugly bar now, do you ever want to pop in and just be like, it's me?
Yeah,
like,
you're welcome.
I mean, you have to do that.
I went to Nashville with some of my friends a couple weekends ago to hear music, and there's a Coyote Ugly bar. They're like, I saw the poster when I came out of the airport.
Yeah.
And my friends were like, we gotta go. And I was like, you guys, it would be hell for me. Like, first of all, I'm gonna have to like, what, perform?
Get on the bar.
I'm 42. Right. Like, I'm not gonna like get up on the bar with a bunch of like totally shit-faced people and be like, let me like do a little dance number. Like, why would that be fun?
I don't want you to have to dance. I just want you to be like, I was in the movie and everyone like, I just want you to take a picture there and post it on your Instagram. Like, I just want to see you there again. Just for myself.
The perk of it is when you go into a bar and it's a female bartender who knows the movie.
Yes.
Because then your drinks are free.
Oh, yeah. When it's a...
That's the good part.
Maria Bello type. Wasn't she the...
Exactly.
She was the manager. Yeah. She was so cool. God, that movie was cool. And I know you've talked about a reboot where Tyra had like tweeted at you or DM'd you like, let's do it, girl. And you're like, I'm ready. And you're like, well, we kind of... And everyone's like, do it. And you're like, we need a script. I am... If anyone's listening, because people are listening, Let's get that script going. We need a Coyote Ugly 2. It was such an inspirational movie to young girls. It was sexy. It was fun.
Coyote
great
positive.
Music.
Coyote positive.
It was so good.
That was Tuesday's show. Moving on to Wednesday's show. That was such a fun one, too. You've introduced me to so many great new friends, including Claire Parker. And then now Brendan Ayer, one of my favorite guests we've had recently. This was his second appearance on the show. You can follow him on Instagram at AyerBud, E-Y-R-E, Bud. He's at Go Bananas next weekend in Cincinnati. If you're listening to this, go see Brendan Ayer tape his, record his album at Go Bananas Comedy Club, March 28th through the 30th at Go Bananas in Cincinnati. He was in studio on Wednesday with Andrew Collin, who is with me right now.
Hey, everybody. You heard me on the last segment. But yeah, Brendan is great. Great comic. And I think Nikki and him really bond over hating me secretly and to my face. Mm-hmm.
Which is nice?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to know exactly how your friends feel about you, especially when it's all negative.
It's not all negative. Hate and love are so close together that... It really helped me. I feel like since that day, I've kind of released some of my anger at you that I don't even know where it comes from. I feel like it was good to talk about it with someone who also feels this anger at you because I struggle with it. Whenever you're like in a good mood, I don't like it and I want it to cease. And I really have to investigate that feeling in myself because why would I want my friend to not be happy? Why would it annoy me so much? Brendan Ayer, he talked me through it, and he feels the same way. And he helped me understand where this might be coming from. And you're about to hear that. Any final thoughts before we get into this clip?
Yeah, I just I think it comes from, I don't know if you're not happy, I don't think you want me to be happy. Mm-hmm. So you don't want me to be happier than you.
That is definitely it. Yeah, I think that's a common feeling. Like when you're not having a good time and someone's like has this positive energy around you, you're just like, get out of here with that. Like, you be on my same level. And I know your life. You have nothing to be happy about.
Yeah, that's true. But I do feel like though, there's times where, like, you'll turn on, like, on the radio this morning, like, you turn it on. And when you turn it on, you're the happiest, like, most fun, funniest person I know. But you feel so comfortable with me sometimes, I feel like you don't have to feel like you want to turn it on. If anything, it might make you want to turn it off more.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I really go, I can be pretty boring and introverted around you and really turn it off. Because when I turn it on, it takes a lot of energy to be happy. And I don't feel, that's why we're such good friends, is I don't feel the need to, I can be nicer to you and I'm going to work on that and I'm going to continually work on it. And it sucks that I even have to work on that. I'm sorry as your friend that I am a pill to be around so much of the time. But I do pay you, so that's part of it. I am your boss.
Yeah.
It's weird. And so you can't really be that mean to me.
Well, no, because you really, I mean, if we really.
But you can be.
No, I am mean to you at times.
Good, good.
Yeah, like when I called out your age earlier today or yeah. Like, I always like say stuff behind your back and stuff to mm-hmm. people and ruin your name. So like if you're going down, it's going to be because of me and the logs I've been taking.
Well, I hope that you talk about me behind my back because there must be so many frustrations you have with me and you got to get it out somewhere. And so if I found out you were talking shit about me behind my back, I'd be like, of course he is. Of course you are.
I'd be a monster if I was like, nah, she's great.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if you never talked about me behind my back? And I don't need to ever talk about you behind your back because I say everything I feel about you to your face. I really do.
Yeah, no, I know. I got to start. I pretty much tell you what I feel.
Yeah. We are good at communicating with each other. All right, so here you're going to hear us kind of work through what we just worked through again, and we're going to continue working through it. This is Wednesday's show with Brendan Ayer.
He calls me the second week opening for you, and just I answer the phone, and he just goes, bruh, I'm unstoppable.
I don't think that's the case.
That's so true.
This is what you do. Bruh. You come on this show and you just lie. You just lie.
I'm unstoppable.
You are a goddamn liar.
Fucking
Andrew,
killing.
I know you said that.
I've never said unstoppable in my life.
You say unstoppable all the time.
No, I do not.
You go,
I have no confidence.
I'm unstoppable, man. Like,
I've never
know
said,
you
that.
Said that.
I've never said that.
He for 100%
maybe unbeatable.
You said, bruh. No, hello? No, how are you? Bruh. I'm unstoppable.
You are insane. You're an insane.
It's 100%
you are
true.
Insane.
I would bet good money. Andrew, I don't think you realize that you said that, but you were on this kick early on where you were killing a lot and you weren't used to it because I have good crowds and like you're not used to those and you were killing and you had this new skip in your step that was like, I'm unstoppable. And I let it go, but I know you said that at one point.
No way,
you were
man.
Feeling it hard.
Look, I feel good after a good show? Sure. At first was I like, oh, this is great, everything's great, but now I'm just like, okay, this is
yeah, I
good.
Know, but like you did say I'm unstoppable.
I did not say I'm unstoppable.
Are you honestly going to say you didn't call me and say that?
I think he doesn't think he did.
Are you honestly?
I honestly feel like I did not say unstoppable.
You're honestly going
to
say that conversation didn't happen.
I mean, something around that might have.
What did you immediately call it out or what did you do?
No, because I knew he was killing. Yeah. And I know that's a good feeling. I didn't. I was like, yeah, you're good. You know, like, and I also know, like, you fucking kill and you have crowds that come out to see you. Like, I understand the feature spot that it's like, it's the sweet spot. Like,
yeah.
For those of you guys that don't do stand up or listening, or most of you, like, the middle part is the fucking easiest, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's just how it is. I'm
Which
not taking,
I acknowledge.
I'm not taking anything
yeah.
away from me or
I
Andrew.
I acknowledge all the time.
It's just, yeah, no, so do I. Like,
yeah.
I still middle sometimes. And, like, so I didn't argue with him. I was
right.
like, yeah, you. I mean, I'm sure you're killing. But
yeah.
also, like, in my mind, I was like, okay, well, we'll see. Like, wait till you kick up a notch and you're fucking headlining the second
yeah.
show Saturday at the fucking Looney Bin and nobody knows your name, like, see how that one goes.
I think that's it, is that I think that when I see people get confidence or get excited about something going on, I know that there's a crash on the other side of it, so I just want to be like, don't get too excited. Like, if people get confidence when they lose weight, I'm like, you're gonna gain it back.
Right.
Just like, I guess I just am like kind of a nihilist when it comes to that stuff, so because I've been burned by myself so many times, so
yeah.
I think that's why I'm just like, this new energy, because you've worked out twice, is just, it's worthless.
Six
because
times.
It's gonna go
seven
away.
Times now, seven times.
See, you seriously,
eight and a half times.
Yeah.
No, look, I get it, but I think that, like, you do get annoyed when I'm like happy.
Yes, I
and
do.
I don't understand that. And like, I don't get it. Like, it's weird that you react that way. I think.
Yeah,
because,
that's why I'm trying to deconstruct it. I don't get
it. Yeah, because I don't think that I'm like, I'm the best. I'm everything's great. I don't do that. I really don't. And I'm still very insecure. And I'm still very. I'm not like rubbing it in people. I'm not like.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
grind. I'm killing it.
No,
I
don't
never
know.
Fucking do that.
I think there's
so
something
like,
wrong with me. That
No.
No, don't tell her that nothing's wrong with
there's
her. Because
nothing
there is
wrong with you. No,
that's not
because
true.
That I should
You're just
wish my
that.
Friend to be happy.
Well, I don't know you well enough to say there's nothing wrong with you. But I will tell you this: in this instance, there's nothing wrong with you because
okay.
there is, and it's not his fault. It's not his fault. And I love Andrew. And
I'm really
say,
grateful you're here right now because I do feel like you have some of the same thing I do, which
well,
is like, and okay, so why am I not crazy?
Because of this, because, and me and Andrew have been friends. I'm probably your longest friend in New York comedy, probably. Maybe
you
maybe.
Were my friend,
but you have, and you
your
have
your friendship was unstoppable. You, I thought.
Yeah, yeah, it was, it's stoppable right now.
You do have an unintentional, when you get happy, you have an unintentional arrogance.
Okay.
That's totally not your fault, but it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
And you know that. And it's the same with me. I have that cockiness where I do the same shit. So it's I get it. Like, we get along because we get it. But you do, he has a thing where he doesn't try to, but he's like coming off as arrogant and you're like, you need to chill for a second. Like, you know what I'm talking about? You don't do it on purpose. You're not going what you said. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But you are saying stuff like, man, I just fucking killed out there. And it's
but
like,
I don't do that anymore. I think I've learned. I think since you've known me, first of all, we haven't hung out that much in the last year. We
yeah,
really haven't.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Yeah, because I
you
call
left
you.
Me.
I
you
called
became
you.
Famous.
I
you
called
became
you.
Puddle boy
I called you
and left
4 days ago, and you didn't call me back until you were at this fucking place here.
Yeah, and you know why I don't answer? Because you call me with FaceTime, and two adults.
That's not
don't
true.
Need,
check your call log,
no,
bitch. I called you regularly.
Fucking adults don't need to FaceTime. FaceTime is for phone sex or looking at babies. Period.
What if I help you suck your own dick? What if I help you suck your own dick?
Right, dude. Two adults need to FaceTime.
I hate FaceTiming. I think it's so weird.
I called him regular. I called him regular, and he didn't call me back.
Okay.
He's screened my calls. This motherfucker, he acts all like, oh, you. He fucking screens my calls multiple times.
Calls.
And then I text him. I go, you screened? And he's like, oh, well, I'm sad right now.
I mean, sometimes you don't want to talk on the phone, and that's fine.
No, but I get that. I get that. But he's acting like he's Mr. like... Like I've tried to be your friend just as much. Like I'm not trying. I never big time you.
In my mind, yeah. No, of course you didn't big time me because I'm bigger than you.
No, but you're not. You're fatter. What? You're fat bitch.
See, that's mean.
Yeah, that
that's
mean.
Really mean.
Oh, now what, I'm mean.
You know,
now
well,
I went too far.
The thing is, you're
far.
Not fat, so it's
and
that's why
fat.
You said it.
But you know, I have issues with that. Why would you say that?
You know,
the
I have
fact
issues
that he said
with
it
you saying that I'm arrogant.
Not.
What?
Why? When you go at me, is it not?
Stop arrogant shaming him.
Because yeah, see, arrogance is one thing. I said unintentional arrogance. First
we
of
all know. He's
I serious. Don't think you're want to be fat.
Oh my God!
You fucking lard ass.
But listen, okay.
Coming from a you lost 3 pounds and now you're getting on a.
I've gained it back. I've gained it back.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That was Wednesday's episode, and now we're back in Phoenix at Starbucks. Classic Andrew and Nikki.
Classic. Just we're here. Nikki gets a coffee. I get a juice, and yeah, you know. Classic. I don't know if we'd ever come here if I didn't follow you here.
If you mean you would you ever go to Starbucks?
I'm not a coffee drinker.
No, you would never go here. I'm the one that brings us here all the time to.
If it was up to me, we'd be eating turkey at Jimmy John's.
Oh my God!
If you had to follow me to Jimmy John's and just you don't eat turkey and you just have to watch me eat a
Listen, I was on the road for a very long time with headliners, and I would do whatever they wanted to do. And by the way, I try to appease your tastes. I went to lunch with you yesterday and watched you eat.
Yeah, at a health place that you got a brew.
No, but I put up with your tastes. I've watched you eat Jimmy John's. It was one of the most disgusting moments of my life. We were in Bloomington, Indiana, and he was trying to be low-carb Andrew. And so he goes into Jimmy John's and he gets a turkey sandwich with mayo, extra mayo. And in a lettuce wrap, which is just iceberg lettuce, it's falling apart. I was watching him eat it. I can't believe I didn't document that. I mean, I think it was honestly, yeah,
You took a picture of it.
It was probably too disgusting to post because it was just revolting to watch. So I don't let him buy those lettuce wrap things anymore.
Yeah, well, you want to go to a spring training baseball game tomorrow with me?
I might go to that if there are other people going that... make it fun. I might go. I love baseball. I love going to baseball games. You don't know that about me.
No, but sometimes I just feel like I don't ask you to do things because I just already know the answer. Like the other day, like in Raleigh, when my brother went out to lunch, and you're like, you didn't call me. And I was like, yeah, but I felt like you definitely wouldn't have wanted.
But I told you to call me. That's before I went to, I go, hey, if you go to lunch, let me know, and text me, yeah, and you didn't.
Yeah, but then the next day I asked you, and you said no.
Because that day I didn't feel like it, and it was at his house. I didn't want to go to, like, your brother's house and, like, have to meet his kids and his wife and, like, and see the dog and, like, the cabinets.
He doesn't have kids, first of all. It would have been so chill. You, like, play it off like it's a big thing to meet, like, to sit in the house, but it would have been, like... And we weren't even at the house for more than 3 minutes.
No, I honestly would have gone there. I like your brother, and I know that he doesn't have kids now that you said that. But I didn't do it because I had work to do. I was, like, at a Starbucks doing work, and then I had to go get a facial. There were things I had to do. But, like, yeah, I did want to be invited on that first one.
Okay. All right. I just don't like being rejected or, like, feeling like I'm bothering.
No, it's easy for me to say no, and if you ask me to do something, that's the thing. People always go, I don't want to bother you. It's like, what is the harm in me saying no? It's not like I'm going to hate you because you asked me. Like, even asking for favors, when comedians, if there are comedians listening, and you're like, I don't want to bother a comedian by asking for a guest set, If you ask me for a guest set, which if you're not a comedian, a guest set is like doing 5 minutes on a headliner show. It means nothing to me. If you bomb, I don't care. I can still recover. I will always give away guest sets. If you ask for one, I will give it to you. That is a secret I am revealing right now. Now, if you ask for a second one and you haven't done one well on the first one, or if you're annoying to be around, I won't let you do it again, but I'll always let you do it the first time. Asking, and if I say no to you, I don't hate you if I say no. People are so scared of hearing no. Including myself. Like, that's why I don't, like, shoot my shot with guys, is because I feel like I don't want to be rejected, because I have been a lot. But that's different, because if you ask a guy out, or you, like, try to, like, if you're like, hey, we should bang sometimes, are you feeling this? And they're like, no. Then you're like, oh, well, now I've changed our dynamic. Whereas if you get asked for a guest set, you haven't changed the dynamic if I say no.
Yeah, but I like Jimmy John's more than I like, you know, pussy. So... Wait, analogy.
I don't understand what's happening here.
I don't either. No, so I'm saying, like, if I'm asking you to go to Jimmy John's with me, it's more intimate than if I asked you to hook up.
No, because I just go, no, I don't want to go to Jimmy John's. Then I go take a nap and I think nothing of it. I'm not like, Andrew keeps bugging me about Jimmy John's. Where if you asked me to hook up and I said no to you, that would change our dynamic forever, because I would know then that you were into hooking, and I'd be like, oh, I can't deal with this now, and then I wouldn't invite you out anymore. So the stakes are so low when you're asking me to go to lunch that I can reject you, and it doesn't change anything.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though, is, like, sometimes, like, you're not as chill, you know? You're not, like, a real you're sometimes very laid back, and then other times you're the complete opposite. So I don't know what Nikki I'm getting sometimes.
Right.
So then I'm on eggshells sometimes.
Okay, I don't like that. You shouldn't be on eggshells, but I do have that personality. Like, I do. I'm not that nice. It's not that I'm not nice, but I'm just, like, a little bit snippy. But the thing is, when I'm snippy in those moments, let me just say, I'm never harboring, I'm not keeping that resentment and, like, hating you the rest of the day. I release it as soon as I get some caffeine in my system. That's usually why I'm in a bad mood.
Yeah, just get a coffee in you, give you 10.
Give me an IV of Monster Energy, and I'll be in a rockin' tude, ready to meet your brother.
This is like couple therapy, but we're not talking to anybody, and we're not a couple. Like,
okay, let's get to Thursday's clip. This is me, Andrew, and a cop that showed up. He's a fan of SiriusXM. Noah, my producer, knew him because he's just been listening to Sirius forever. He is friends with a lot of people in the building. He wanted to sit in on the show and just listen. And then I just brought him into the mix. So we got to have cop talk. Cop questions with Sergeant Marty. Here we go.
Yeah, you gotta be within 3 inches.
As a woman who worries about her safety walking out at night, people always tell me, get mace, get a taser, get a self-defense tool. What would you recommend is the best way to stay safe?
Get faster.
Safe?
I don't know if I'm the expert on it, but I don't like mace or pepper spray. My biggest fear with mace or pepper spray is when we've used it, you ask a lot of cops, we're the only ones that now, the guy's walking around, he's fine. We're the ones that are washing out our eyes. The wind's going to blow. You're outside,
yes.
You're jogging in Central Park, and you spray the mace at this guy, it blows back on you. Now you're completely defenseless.
Yes.
Because now you're not grabbing for him or scratching him or pushing him, mm-hmm. You're wiping your eyes. You're
right.
In pain. So if the wind's blowing in the wrong direction, you're going to get hit. I'd rather, you know, you hit something.
But she'll look more unattractive.
Yes.
Which causes the guy to maybe not want.
Yeah, guys hate when girls are crying.
Yeah, so maybe he'll walk
right,
away.
Maybe he will.
So,
yeah, maybe it's a good move to pepper spray yourself.
No, I always feel that way when I've had pepper spray in the past. Like, you, first of all,
you
got to get it ready.
You have to get the
nozzle ready,
yeah.
And then you have
you
to point it in the right
it.
Direction. The wind. You're right. There's so many things that doesn't seem to me a good solution to safety.
No.
What do you find is taking
you
a self
really
defense
had to
class?
Carry
is that
something a self defense class learning? But situational awareness is probably the biggest self-defense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're not looking down on your phone the whole time walking, you're going to notice somebody behind you. But something more blunt, because a knife, even if you had a knife and it was legal wherever you're at, you really, I mean, it's hard for people to, you're not a violent person, to stab somebody. That's going to be
a tough thing.
Because even if this person's attacking you, are you going to be ready to actually?
No.
Yeah. So you're not going to use it. The pepper spray can blow back on you. Maybe like one of those I don't know, like a flashlight or something. And somebody may disagree with something, those little keychains that have a little something where if you just hit somebody, you may feel that you'd be more comfortable doing that. It gives you enough chance to create distance.
Than stabbing someone.
Right, to stab somebody is a very...
violent, and it's a hard thing to do because even when you're alarmed and being attacked, like breaking skin is not something I've ever done to anyone.
No, so... it sounds good. You might feel safe. Oh, well, I got this big knife. But first of all, you got to get that out of your pocket.
And I don't know how to use a knife. I don't know the best way to stab.
What are you cutting? What are you doing?
And if he gets the knife out of your hand, you just gave him if he didn't have it.
And now you gave him a weapon.
All right, that was Thursday's show. We're at the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening this week, as always, which is just started last episode. I like to recommend something at the end of the episode because you've made it through. And it's a person, place, or thing that you think people, or that I think people would enjoy. And mine this week, I'm going to shout out to the ladies. I found the best primer / concealer / foundation. It's IT Cosmetics, and it's called Better Than Skin. Google it. It's the best foundation I've ever found, and it has SPF. And it just, every time I comment on a girl's skin, I'm like, you have great skin. She's like, it's foundation, and it's that foundation. So IT Cosmetics. Better Than Skin. Andrew?
Yeah, I just I recommend following my Instagram. I'm really great. I'm very funny. I mean, I'm a great comic. Soon I'm going to end up being selling out bar shows for rooms full of...
Andrew T. Collin on Instagram.
No, but for real, I honestly think if you want to work out boxing, it's changed my life. I've gone 3 times now, and I really do. I recommend boxing, and it's class if you're in New York. Go to Rumble Boxing. It's really an amazing workout. And when you hit something, you picture it as like your boss or something, or something you hate a lot, it like gets things out. So then you could have a conversation with them without wanting to kill them.
Interesting. I might need to try that just by listening to that last whole monologue you gave. It really made me want to punch something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We've really come full circle here. Try boxing. Try that primer. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Rate and review. Subscribe. All those things. Share it with your friends. Share it on your Instagram story. I saw a couple of you do that. Thank you so much. Come see us in Phoenix this weekend. And in 2 weekends, we're going to be at the West Palm Beach Improv in Florida. So get tickets. NikkiGlazer.com. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Squirt, squirt.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.